So let's talk about Ruzelka then. I read recently that you had said that a lot of the time in your life, certain characters, certain roles that you'd sung had helped you through difficulties. This is 50-something character that you've sung at the Met. Has she had an impact on your life? Has her character affected you personally?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say not the character, but the role has been so important to me. I mean, I've sung her for almost 25 years now, and she's been very good to me. She's one of the roles, Rusalka, of maybe 10 that could have been composed for me, where there's really no moment where I think, gosh, how am I going to make this work? And I love, and Song to the Moon, of course, put me on the map, and I still love it.
You're in a tree for a good portion of this production. How's that working out in terms of the acting part of the role?
Well, it's, I always think it's a bit odd, but you see drawings from the original production, and she was in a tree there too. So somehow, it's better than being stuck in the water and having to sing that aria. So I guess that was the solution. We imagined that the water nymph could climb the tree.
And you've borrowed our music director from Philadelphia here for this production. How is the relationship with Yannick? I know that in past years, you always had a great relationship with Christoph Eschenbach. We seem to be able to provide you to lend you our music directors on a regular basis.
Or right.
Maybe you're lending them to us. I'm not sure.
Well, Yannick is unbelievably gifted. I mean, he really has everything, and attached to this phenomenal personality and energy and vigor, and we all love him. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't just think he's incredibly gifted. And it's going to be wonderful to watch his career continue to develop. I mean, he will just keep going from strength to strength, I think.
What's his gift with singers? How does he interact with you?
He knows the repertoire backwards and forwards. He has a real, he loves opera and has always loved it. He knows the pieces when we arrive as well as we do. And that cannot be said of all conductors. And very few conductors have a true affinity for opera and a real gift for opera, I would say. And we feel supported by him, and that enables us to give more, to open up and to expand. He also has this terrific balance between knowing when to move things forward and knowing when to give way. And that's another important part of opera. It needs to be shaped.
Interesting. Because a lot of the time, people think that the job of the opera conductor is all about the pacing, and he's deciding tempi, and he's moving the production forward, so to speak. And the fact that you don't have, in the same way that if you're an orchestral player, the level of eye contact that you might have, how does the interaction work then as you're performing?
We do have as much eye contact as we need. We have monitors all over the stage, and most of us are really closely in touch with the pit, even if it doesn't look like we're staring at him. So that doesn't seem to be a problem today. In fact, I find it easier, frankly, than when I'm on stage and the conductor's next to me. That's when I think, my goodness, I can't actually make eye contact with them without losing the audience.
I heard you talking in your previous interview about your youngest, Sage, who seems to be following a similar career trajectory to you, starting out as a singer-songwriter. And you then went on and sang, of course, in a jazz bar for a couple of years and worried your parents greatly. Now, is the shoe on the other foot now? Are you worried about the fact that she might be getting into the music business?
No, I'm not worried at all. I'm actually really happy for her. She's got a tremendous ability to appreciate all kinds of styles of music. And I love that my children both have a very eclectic taste.
So I spoke to some other guys at the BBC a couple of years ago, and they had a lottery going on about anybody who spoke to David Bowie's son, who is a film director. And it was how long you could go in the interview without mentioning that he was David Bowie's son. And I think the record was 7 minutes. I'm now 7 minutes and 24 seconds into an interview with you, and I haven't mentioned a certain event that took place about 12 miles from where you're sitting right now. The talk before the Super Bowl was that it was going to be enormous pressure on you because mm-hmm. this was a level of exposure that no one could even think about or dream about from inside the classical music world. And we were kind of having a giggle here and saying, clearly the people who are saying this have never read opera blogs, because the level of scrutiny and often negative response that you're getting from both the blogosphere and indeed from the mainstream media as an opera singer is pretty intense. And you know, having been insulted by some low-grade hip-hop artists is not going to compare to that. What did you think it was going to be like, and what was the experience? How was the experience different?
It's so wonderful that you mention in one sentence the total extreme of my existence right now, from the highly critical core, you know, super core, to the largest audience. In fact, I had a funny dialogue before this because I said, you know, truly, if you added up all the people I've sung for my entire career, it wouldn't come close to reaching this 2-minute audience. And somebody said, and add your colleagues to that as well. So it was just that enormous. The pressure was, I can't even tell you how hard I prepared for this and how much effort I put into it. You know, really, I was charged with producing how it would be, you know, the orchestration and asking Rachmaninoff to arrange, and with help, obviously, getting the New Jersey Symphony to play the track and the military chorus, because I thought, I don't want to be out on the 50-yard line by myself. I want friends with me. So, and asking Vera Wang to design that dress, which was so successful. So, it's a 2-minute show, but, I mean, it's an incredible opportunity. And I'm really, my goal, honestly, was to make sure that it wasn't embarrassing and that nobody sort of said, wow, well, that was a mistake. And instead, the response has been over-the-top positive and has put me on a larger map in a big way.
It's odd, you know, because before the Super Bowl, you were probably the most well-known, and I'm not trying to blow smoke here, probably the most well-known opera singer, if not the best-known classical music musician in the world. And then you go out to do this, and you're kind of carrying the torch for all of classical music, because you may well have been, in those 3 minutes, the first, and for some people maybe ever the only, opera singer they've ever encountered. But was that sitting with you? Did you sort of, because I know you earlier in your career you did suffer from pre-performance nerves. Did all that stuff go through your head?
Yeah, I woke up in the middle of the night pretty much every single day since before the holidays. I was so worried about the text. I was worried that I wouldn't be able to hear well. There's so many things that could go wrong. And the other thing that really weighed on me was the degree to which people are emotionally connected to the piece, the degree to which Americans care about the national anthem. I mean, I've seen artists be villainized for years after it not going well. So I felt definitely a responsibility for it. And my own family, my own uncles and my father, they all served. And, you know, everybody had an opinion about how it should go. It was unlike anything I've ever done, I have to say.
And the other thing is, not for you, obviously, but it's one of those songs. I know that whenever Ireland, Northern and Southern Ireland get together for anything, and nobody wants to sing a national anthem because it'll cause some, you know, it'll cause hurt feelings somewhere, people sing Danny Boy. And it's got that, you know, it's a difficult song to sing as well. But the U.S. national anthem is no easy song to sing for people who can't sing. And I think that becomes obvious when you hear, let's not name any names, but there have been people who sang it even at the Super Bowl who didn't realize just how difficult it was to sing.
Right.
That didn't concern you in the least.
Well, you know, when you add that interpolated fourth, which everyone does now, it's a 2-octave range. And that's a big range for anybody, even for a professional singer. So, however, you know, opera singers, even at the lowest level, if we have to have range. I mean, so as long as the key is appropriate, then, no, I wasn't so worried about that. I was worried about a lot of other things, though.
Such as?
Well, like I said, you know, all the other things that could go wrong, yeah. And the text is very challenging. And you don't realize it because we learn it by rote. So everybody says, of course I know the national anthem. And of course we do. It comes out. But when you're on the spot, suddenly you stop and say, no, wait, what does that mean? And how is that sentence constructed? And boy, is it night or is it fight? I mean, so this is what the waking up in the middle of the night was about.
Interesting. Yeah, my wife went to school in Baltimore, and she took me to Fort McKinley. Is it where it's the only place in the country where they fly the only federal building in the country where they fly the Stars and Stripes overnight. Because yes. the anthem was written based on a flag still flying over that.
In fact, this is the 200th anniversary of the national anthem, which I also thought was wonderful to give it that special gravitas. I have to say I feel incredibly grateful, first of all, to have received this amazing possibility. And, you know, and it came from somebody who started the Super Bowl, and evidently he'd been, Bill Creasy had been lobbying for me to do it for some years, but nobody knew. I didn't find out until 2 days before how it happened.
And how did it happen?
That was, it was him who was sort of going to bat for me for not just this year, but a number of years. And finally, the NFL said, okay, we're ready for something different.
Good. And they tried other things as well. It was very interesting that they tried a mainstream artist, but not a very established artist for the halftime show, which was also very refreshing to see a younger singer having a go at that. Just one final thing. I mean, you've over the course of your career, we mentioned the jazz, you did 2 years in Algiers, and that was where you started off, and you were a singer-songwriter and you wrote art songs. And you know, you've tried a lot of things. You've done very, very interesting work in the jazz idiom since then. You've done a rock album. You've written a book. Does this now sort of open up other possibilities for you? And I mean, at this point, it may well have happened already, if Hollywood comes calling now, because there's nothing that you don't have that you can't, that from the opera world, that's not going to be useful to you, say, if somebody were to say, are you interested in movies?
You know, honestly, I'm very open-minded, and I am, it was just announced that I'm doing a play this summer, so I'm definitely interested in expanding and continuing. American Voices at the Kennedy Center is a model I would love to repeat because it was stimulating and wonderful, and I think people are hungry for knowledge about singing. There's never been more interest in singing in the world than there is right now, thanks to television, reality programming, and sitcoms that focus on singing and glee clubs. And I would love to be helpful. I can't tell you when I tour the country how many people say, please help me learn how to sing, whether they're parents of children who have the dream or whether they're boomers who say, I want to get back to it. So that's something fun that I would love to do.
But in terms of straight acting, do you think you're a good enough actress to carry, you wouldn't have to carry a movie, but if one of your pals called you and said, you know, we have a leading lady role, do you think that the things that you've done in opera would lend themselves to, say, the kind of close-up? Well, you're getting it already, I guess, with the Met broadcast, but do you think you would have a go at straight acting?
Well, I love the hosting, for sure. I mean, it's certainly...
That comes off very well.
Certainly the play I'm doing this summer is going to be an opportunity to see if I can do it. I you know, we do act, but our acting is tied to music. It's very often stretched out, and a lot of it is quite broad. Because the stories are broad, so it remains to be seen. I will talk to me in about 6 months, and we'll let you know.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.